And good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. A few more days before Halloween. How are you, Justin?
I'm good, Holly. How are you?
It's good. This is Something to Talk About on 90.7 WGXC, your live local radio. The only place in the area, right, Justin, where you can get this kind of radio?
Wow.
It's true.
That's what we're supposed to say.
Guess what we're doing? Well, and it's true.
It is true.
There is a dead air pledge drive going on, folks. So if you're tuning in and you like what you hear, whether it's myself and Justin or some of the other wonderful programming that's going on, please consider making a donation. The pledge drive number is 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate. So please consider making a donation. And we have a special going on right now. We have received a lovely offer of matching a donation of up to $500. We have a generous anonymous donor who will match any donation up to $500. So that's huge. Your donation of $25 would become $50. Or if Ooh. You want to donate $500,
I like when my money multiplies.
Yeah, like bunnies. So that's yes. awesome. Thank you to that donor. So please
call
in. If
only I had money.
Please call in again, 518-697-7400. So Justin, what's going on? Did you watch the World Series? Is that why you're punchy today?
Well, you know, am I punchy?
Yes.
I can show you punchy. Actually, I had an Arbonne party last night, so I was peddling makeup and beauty products until the break of dawn. But now I did catch the last few innings, and apparently this was the longest lasting first round of the World Series ever on record. It went 14 innings. This is between our New York Mets. And, you know, whether you're a Yankees fan or a Mets fan, it's a New York team, so I would think that everybody's
Go Mets.
Rooting for the Mets. But again, we can't tell people to root for the Mets here.
No,
at WGXC.
We can't. No.
We just hope that since you're a New Yorker, you might want to root for the New York home team. But they're playing the Kansas City Royals, and 5-4.
Yeah, exciting game.
Now, I've always said the best thing about baseball is the hot dogs. So I'm not really a baseball fan, but that was a game that I would have watched through completion. We did have some bad news. Also, in the fourth inning, the power went out.
The power went out. Fox had an issue with their generators, their backup generators. So,
and the star pitcher, I guess the starting pitcher, I should say, for the Kansas City Royals, his father died right before the game, and they were trying to figure whether they should tell him or not. I don't think they did tell him, and they let him play, and he ended up leaving to go back to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah,
so
very sad.
There was a lot of story with that game last night.
Very true.
Well, I guess game two is tonight.
Yes, it is. Tune in. So tonight, Girl Ganju is up to something fun.
Oh, Girl Ganju.
What
you
are you
know,
doing, girl?
Well, speaking of the Dominican Republic, you know, right after Hudson Pride every year, Girl Ganju hops the red eye and flies and has red eyes. Funny enough, Girl Ganju hops the red eye and goes to the Dominican Republic and does not return until Halloween. So she's been gone for 4 months. She is reappearing tonight, folks, at Wonder Bar. Tonight is Wonder Bar and Bistro here in Hudson. It's their trivia finale for the 2015 season, and they have requested that Girl Ganju show up and co-host. So if you are out and about,
exciting.
Yeah, come on down. That starts at 10 o'clock. You can form a team there, two or more people, and the trivia goes on for 2 hours, and it's a good time.
And there's a Halloween party.
There's a Halloween
Saturday
party.
Night. I know there's all sorts of Halloween activities going on this weekend.
And Girl Ganju was hosting that, too, and that is
a busy girl.
Club Helsinki. That's at 10 o'clock. There is a costume contest starting at midnight. $300 for the first prize. Second prize is $200. And third prize is a $100 gift certificate to Club Helsinki.
Wow.
And we're also giving out a $200 Face.com gift card to the person with the best makeup. So this is at Helsinki this Saturday at 10 o'clock.
There's also, I've been
DJ T-Bone spinning the music.
To announce there'll be a Halloween party at the Mellonville Firehouse this Saturday from 3 to 5. So bring all the kids in their costumes, I believe. Justin, the weather is supposed to be nice on Halloween. Is that true?
It is supposed to be partly sunny on Saturday with a high of 55. We are not looking at any precipitation. However, today we have moments of rain. It is sprinkling right now. We're going to get up to a high of 60. It's going to be windy and a little bit more rain coming through later. Tomorrow's going to be beautiful. It's going to be cloudy, not much sun, but we're going to get up to a high of 69. So enjoy tomorrow. Friday is going to be partly sunny and cooler, high of 54. And then after Halloween, it is a complete washout. But I love that kind of weather, and that's a high of 62. Lots of rain on Sunday.
Very nice. So Halloween should be nice.
What are you doing Halloween? You got any plans?
Yeah, we went to get our costumes last night. So my daughter is a zombie prom queen. Uh-huh. And Gavin isn't sure what he wants to do yet, but we usually go. We might go up to friends in Saratoga because they live in a busy development area where, you know, you just get buckets and buckets of candy and it's crazy. But so, yeah, we have fun on Halloween. I've got my house all decorated. I've never, ever, when I grew up, I lived on a farm and a long dirt road in my driveway now. So I've never had kids come to the door. I kind of miss that, but we still decorate all out for Halloween. It's fun. I love Halloween. And speaking of Halloween, you know, October, we have some guests with us today. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And domestic violence is a very scary issue. So we're really happy to have with us today to talk about that and other things going on, our DA, Paul Chaika. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Okay, yeah, speak right into that microphone, honey. We don't want to miss a word. And we also have with us our county coroner, Jim Bertram.
Thanks for having us.
Cue the corny zombie jokes, right?
I get them all the time, Holly.
I know you do. So, Paul, why don't you talk to us about what your office does in regards to domestic violence? I know it's a big issue. It's a horrible issue that people have to deal with, unfortunately. And I know you've made great strides in helping victims and prosecuting. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Thanks, Hall.
Sure.
Justin.
Hi, Paul.
Domestic violence is a very, very serious problem in Columbia County and, in fact, throughout the country. We're very fortunate here in Columbia County to have several agencies who work very, very hard, not only with law enforcement, but the victims and survivors of domestic violence. It's an insidious problem that continues, and it knows no boundaries in terms of geography or socioeconomic class or race, income. It exists throughout the county just like it does throughout the nation. But as I say, we're very fortunate to have here in Columbia County the Columbia Green Domestic Violence Program, chaired and run by several extremely competent persons, including Rebecca. And it is a program that is extremely helpful, as I say, not only to law enforcement, but most particularly helpful to the victims and survivors of domestic abuse. In my own office, I have two extremely qualified victim advocates. One is a licensed social worker and the other a paralegal whose primary duty is to aid and assist victims of crime, most of which involves domestic violence, unfortunately. The work that they do throughout the day and the week involves contact with the persons at the Columbia Green Domestic Violence Center and direct contact with the victims and survivors. And fortunately as well, we have so many judges in the county who are particularly aware of the issues and are ready, willing, and able to issue orders of protection as warranted and as needed. Unfortunately, the same people that engage in domestic violence oftentimes don't stop simply because of a piece of paper in the form of an order of protection.
Yeah.
So as a consequence, we also prosecute persons for contempt of that order of protection in local courts and in county court in the persons of Judge Nichols and Judge Coak, two of the finest judges I've ever had the fortune of working with. Unlike other crimes that ebb and flow, domestic violence, I believe, is an offense that is constant and has been constant throughout my career. And I believe that former sheriff, current coroner Bertram might agree with me in that regard.
Totally, Paul. For the past 30 years that I had in law enforcement, we've seen it back 30 years ago and even further. And today, it's still there, so it needs constant work, and the people in Columbia County would be just glad that we have a district attorney like Paul Shaika that puts the people in there and spends the time. He's very dedicated to this program.
Is it mostly women, Paul, or is it a is it mostly that you're finding that it's women, or is there...
The victims most often are women.
Yeah.
However, it's not unusual that that men are also victims. So, as I say, the majority of persons involved are women, but men too can be victims. Not only from women offenders, but from other men offenders as well.
Right, right.
If there is somebody out there that's listening that might be a victim of domestic abuse, what is the first step? What should they do? Who should they contact?
Well, most importantly, the first thing to do is call 911.
Right.
If anyone feels the slightest, has the slightest fear that he or she is in danger, they should call 911. And Sheriff Bartlett and the New York State Police and Chief Moore and the Hudson Police are ready, willing, and able to send cars and persons out immediately. And in fact, Sheriff Bertram can speak to that with much more knowledge than I can, having been a sheriff for so very long. But the very first thing to do is to call 911. When the emergency has subsided, call me, because although I have two persons whose title are a crime victim advocate, as the DA, I am the crime victim advocate in the county. They should also contact the persons at the Columbia Green Domestic Violence Center. And that phone number, unfortunately, I don't have it at the tip of my tongue, but it is available.
We can look it up.
Yeah. Why don't we do that for your
folks that are listening. While Holly's looking up that number, do you find, is there anything in place to rehabilitate the perpetrators of domestic violence, or are we just focused on getting them away from abusing and getting them
away
from the victim?
Well, the sentencing schemes in New York State are such that we provide for rehabilitation and deterrence. I happen to believe that anyone that is capable of harming a person more vulnerable than themselves is incapable of rehabilitation. That does not mean, however, that the victims and the survivors of domestic violence don't want their offenders to have second chances, and we work very, very hard to provide for them, provided that they want to give those persons a second chance. But it's a very, very important issue because the incidence of reoffending among persons who engage in domestic violence is extremely high,
right.
Extremely high. And it also knows no boundaries in terms of generations. So it's a very, very serious problem that we work extremely hard to combat, but it's difficult.
Yeah. And it's a lot of times it's difficult to actually get the victim to speak up and actually make that phone call and ask for help, because they're afraid that if they do,
it's going to be worse.
So what's your advice in that situation?
That is very, very true, Justin and Holly. In fact, when I first noticed that working for Charles Inman as an assistant DA, and I was very, very surprised to know that victims and survivors of domestic abuse oftentimes are hesitant to contact law enforcement.
Right.
Oftentimes because of the fact that the offenders attempt to apologize and promise that they won't offend again, which oftentimes are empty promises. But they also hold things over the victims and the survivors. And they do so, for example, by using their children as tools,
right.
Mm-hmm. To protect themselves against law enforcement. And most recently, something that I'm embarrassed to know I did not realize, and I should have, was that they oftentimes use a victim's pet.
I was just going to say that, pets.
Yes. Mm. And in fact, here in Columbia County, we're extremely fortunate to have a humane society chaired by Charlene Marchand.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She is wonderful. And Ron Perez,
who works
extremely hard, and they're both very, very knowledgeable and very, very talented. They have a program here in Columbia County in which persons who have been removed from the offender, or I should say when persons are victims of domestic violence, and their offenders have been removed from them by orders of protection or otherwise, they can go into a domestic violence center, a shelter, I should say, but they can take their dogs with them because the Humane Society has a program, their dogs and other pets.
Yeah.
So oftentimes they may be hesitant to go into a shelter knowing that
the offender
may take it out on their pets.
Right.
And Charlene and Ron are really ahead of the curve in that department and have been established this program so as to account
That's
for
awesome.
That,
really that awesome. Helps because yeah. I think it is difficult for, especially if it's a woman, to think about, you know, I can't do anything about this because of X, Y, or Z. I just want to ask, is the office in Catskill for the Columbia Green domestic violence?
They have the main office is in Catskill, and they also have an office here in Hudson.
So, folks, a quick Google search, and I found they have a Facebook page, and there also is a website, but the phone number. So even if you know of someone, because, again, a lot of times, as Paul said, victims are hesitant to do anything about it because they think it's going to stop. They can change the behavior, what have you. Or if you yourself are a victim of abuse, 518-943-9211 is the phone number to call. And obviously, as Paul mentioned, if there's a serious situation, you call 911 first so that can be addressed. But, you know, very serious issue. In October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so pay attention, folks, because this is important. Nobody deserves to be abused.
No.
Yeah. So, Paul, you mentioned, you know, we have Jim Bertram here, who's a coroner, and you're running for your second term, correct? Is that right? Yeah.
This is the second time.
But your previous public service, you were a former sheriff, right? And so, obviously, there's differences in the jobs.
Definitely. But just a little bit about the domestic violence.
Go ahead.
A call like that is one of the most dangerous for law enforcement.
Right.
Because two people can be fighting, but when you get there, all of a sudden you got two people that are together for a little while.
Yeah.
And another thing that we see, things will be settled. An hour later, we get a call back.
To go back.
Before they finally decide that somebody's got to leave. But and this has been going on forever.
And do you find that perhaps there's drinking is involved?
Drinking, drugs. What I see in the past, there was no place for people to go. But now, as Paul said, there's several places, his office, domestic violence offices, and at least the people have a place to reach out, and there's no excuse, you know, for not calling somebody now.
Right, exactly. So, but how's the coroner job?
Okay, Holly, I thought I was totally prepared for this because I met...
You are.
Yeah. But going back all of my years in law enforcement, I dealt with the coroners, I dealt with the families briefly.
Right.
But the main difference here is being coroner, you try to coordinate with law enforcement. You want to get there as soon as possible to a call. You're working with the rescue squads, the hospital staff, law enforcement. And the main thing is dealing with the families, because even if a person's sick, they're expecting to pass. When it really happens, they don't know what to do. So here's where the coroner's office and myself, we spend a lot of time with the families. Sometimes we spend hours, you know, trying to coordinate with the funeral homes if they haven't made arrangements, making sure that they know where the death certificates are. And even tell them they don't even know a lot of times what funeral homes are available. So you're trying to set with the family, ease their loss, and try to coordinate with the family. And then there's all kinds of reports, especially when you have a suicide.
Mm.
When we get to a call, every case could be a murder. So until we decide that it's not, we have to handle it. And we have excellent law enforcement here in a county that does that. A lot of families don't understand when we get there that law enforcement has to take pictures, they have to take depositions.
Right.
And like, you got to treat every scene as a crime scene until you can decide that you know, it's a natural. And then a lot of people where we can't really determine at the scene, we have to do an autopsy. A lot of families, they are totally against it. So we have to sit down and explain to them, even if we have to do an autopsy, it might be best for the rest of their family members, because some kind of a heart disease or some kind of a medical problem could affect other members of the family.
It could be genetic, right?
So it's really a multifaceted job. It's a lot more detailed than when I first got in there. And
yeah, it sounds like it's evolved, and it's not just checking for a pulse.
No.
Like we tease you about.
No, I get teased about that all the time. I get all kinds of jokes. But I take them, but it is a very serious job.
Yeah, you take it very seriously.
And all three coroners. We have coroner Angelo Nero. Yeah. We have coroner Mike Blazel, myself. We get together all the time. We talk about different things. And you have three professional dedicated coroners in Columbia County.
And now. So, Jim, what is your length of public service? How long have you been...
Well, right now, I think it's about 41 years.
Wow. Okay.
I started back in the village of Chatham as a patrolman, officer in charge, chief. I came down to the sheriff's office as a deputy, 13 years as undersheriff, 12 years as sheriff. When I retired, I couldn't stay retired. I went to D.C. Had to get back into law enforcement. So I went. I did a term with the inspector general's office in Albany. And I got out. I got a little bored after a couple of years, decided to run for coroner and to give back to the residents of Columbia County.
Yeah, that's great. And I think for these types of positions, and we're going to talk about Paul and how long he's been doing public service for Columbia County. But for both of your positions, I think it's so important to have that experience, because it just brings, you have all that knowledge behind you to bring with you to the position, and I think it's a great thing. So, and you mentioned Angelo Nero, who I believe is the longest serving in one position. He's been our county coroner for over 30 years, I want to say.
Yes, almost 40.
So that's really wonderful. And so, Paul, again, how long have you been a public servant?
Going back to Angelo, if I'm not mistaken, Jim, Angelo may very well be the longest serving coroner in New York State.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We should look into that. That's amazing. He's a great guy.
He really is. He's also served the county in other capacities as well, including village of Galatia mayor. I think he's still on the village board, is he not?
I think so. And the fair, practically runs the county fair.
Oh, he's at the fair every day throughout.
He's an amazing man.
He was coroner when I became an assistant DA in 1981. In fact, then Undersheriff Jim Bertram had a little trouble breaking me in as an assistant DA, but he worked hard at it, and I'm not sure that I've risen to his expectations, but I like to think that I've worked very hard to get there. Jim and I, as I say, have been working together since then. 1981, I began as an assistant DA for my first boss and mentor, Charles Inman. Since that time, I was going forward. I worked as an assistant DA for several years, and then Columbia County Public Defender for 2 years in 1986 and 87. 87, I ran for my first term as district attorney and was sworn in on January 1st of 1988 and stayed DA until December 31st of 1994. The next day, I became the judge of county family and surrogate courts here in Columbia County, a position that I held until May of 2011, when I resigned in order to run for district attorney once again. A sitting judge cannot run for any other political office other than DA, so I had to give up the job in order to run for DA again, and I was fortunate enough to be honored by the people of Columbia County to get elected again and serve again, and that's where I am now.
What was the reason for leaving a county judge to become DA again? Was it that you just missed the job of DA?
Well, I have to tell you, Justin, I missed the job of DA probably throughout my term, two terms as judge. And although, excuse me, the role of the job of a judge is probably considered much more prestigious, I happen to believe that the role of the district attorney is probably the most important job in the county. And as DA, I believe I can do more good for more people. In addition, I like the job. In many ways, it's the difference between wearing stripes and actually having the ball. It's very, very active. The work never ends. In fact, this past weekend, I spent most of Saturday working with the New York State Police and Sheriff Bartlett's deputies working on the identity theft case that arose out of the town in Lebanon and involved a crime syndicate that was working throughout the East Coast. And I was working on that throughout the day on Saturday, but I loved every minute of it. As a judge, the workload is extremely smaller. Being DA is something, I like to compare it to the empty room in your house. No matter how big it is, that empty room, it fills up with junk. As DA, no matter how long the day is, regardless of how long the week is, there's work to be done.
And you're very hands-on as well. You're not afraid to do any of the jobs involved.
I try the cases myself. In fact, trying the cases is probably the most fun job. And whereas oftentimes in larger counties like New York County or Albany County, the DA has more of an administrative role. Here
right.
In small counties like Columbia County, the DAs must try cases. And I've been trying cases since 1981, and even in the last 3 years, I've tried burglary cases, robbery cases, rape cases, child sexual abuse cases, and continue to do so.
Well, not only that, and Paul, I have to say, you know, you're very strong about domestic violence, but we just had a case, and I just saw it on the news this morning, about the woman in Clawbrook who shot the dog, and I believe she's going to be sentenced today. But, you know, thanks to Paul and everyone involved in that, that was a horrific thing that woman did. And so Paul is strong against animal abuse, too, which I just think is great.
Well, that was an extremely horrific case, given the circumstances surrounding the killing of that pet. The pet was a therapy dog.
Yeah.
And the child who was served by that therapy dog was extremely, extremely distraught as a result of the of her pet having died the way it did. And there's really, really no excuse. And it's not unlike domestic violence that offenders mistreat animals,
right?
And they mistreat people.
Right, people as well. Jim, did you want to add something?
Yes, I did.
And we should say you're on call, so we're hoping that Jim does not get a phone call. If he rushes off, that's why.
Holly, what I'd like to say, P.J. Keeler, our county treasurer, Paul Scheike, myself, we started campaigning back in May, and the three of us, we're a team, but we went, and we didn't go just to Republican houses. We went to Democratic houses. We went to Republican, conservative, independents.
Yeah, how's the campaigning been going, Jim?
Good. And what I want to say, we went to everybody. And one of the big things they'd ask PJ is on the taxes. But a lot of good feedback, regardless of what party, is Paul Scheike. They wanted a tough prosecutor, but one that could show some compassion also. And the people were saying this, and I don't mean just one party, all parties. They said that we need a tough prosecutor in there. We mm-hmm. have these other social agencies out there, and they have their role. The DA's office, they wanted somebody that was going to be tough on crime. And they didn't need a social worker as a DA. And
right.
This was all over the county. We're getting this feedback. And houses, we went to every function, and this was the main theme in the DA's race, is we need a tough prosecutor that was prosecute everything, and we didn't need a social worker, in which Paul, he does both, but he is tough on crime, and this is what the people seen, you know, in his past years, and they didn't want to see that change. And they people were really adamant about it. They did a lot of talking like that.
That's great to hear. And we're going to take a little break and listen to some Halloween-themed music, Monster Mash. But I want to remind everyone that there is a pledge drive going on. If you're liking what you're hearing, you know, these are important topics we're talking about, and it's live local radio. Nowhere else are you going to be able to listen to the lovely voices of Paul Chyka and Jim Bertram
and Justin Weaver.
Yeah. So if you like what you hear, please call and donate. Again, we have a special match going on right now of up to $500. So if you call in 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate. Up to $500, your donation will be matched. But if you want to donate $1,000, go right ahead.
How long is this pledge drive going on?
I believe it ends. When does it end? Friday. It ends Friday.
So you want to get on the phone today.
Yes, call today and please donate. The station depends on you, our listeners, so that you can continue to hear us. And so we will be back. We're going to talk more about the campaign, more with DA Chyka and Coroner Bertram about what's going on. And stay tuned. Okay, let's see if we can do this. Oh.
I was looking in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
And we're back, folks. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Something to Talk About with Holly Tanner and
Justin Weaver.
Justin Weaver. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. We're here today. Very special guests with us. We're happy that they could join us, DA Paul Chyka and County Coroner, one of three, Jim Bertram. So we wanted to ask, this is an extremely important question for the voters to know. Paul Chyka, what is your favorite color?
Yes.
Plaid.
Plaid.
Is that a color, Justin?
Well,
you're
it's
the
more
official.
Of a pattern. I guess there are certain colors in there, but I know it's usually like a red and a green, but there's also brownish plaids.
Yeah, there could be purple. That's a very nice choice.
I don't think anybody would ever
say
we're
not going to question
plaid.
It.
I
he
like
wants
it.
Plaid. He likes
okay.
plaid. Jim
How
Bertram.
About you, Jim Bertram?
Folks Again, are counting on this, especially for you.
Multicolored. Camouflage.
Oh, I knew that was going to be your answer.
Camo. And I just have to say, you guys can't see. You can't see the people here. You can't see what these guys look like. But, Paul, I want to know what facial regimen you use because it's like a baby. I'm looking at a baby's face, a baby's bottom. No, in a good way. It's very soft. And I just want to know what you use, because I hope that I can look like you when I turn 40.
Remember, Justin, he grew up on a farm.
That's right.
Okay.
Lots of milk.
Oh, okay. There we go. Would you like to answer that, Paul, or you want to just skip right over that?
Pioneer seed corn.
You are blushing a little bit. I've never seen this before.
We're making history here, folks. Justin right. made Paul blush. Oh, my goodness.
Well, okay.
It's true, though, both of you. Jim's sporting his, you can tell, hunting season's coming up. He's got his beard growing out. Either that or you're going to play Santa at Christmas time.
And what are the other?
Very handsome. You know, you mentioned, though, camel. You made me think of something that I wanted to talk about, which was near and dear to my heart and important, something that my office deals with, Sheriff Bartlett deals with, the judges, and that's the SAFE Act or the Unsafe Act. And Paul Chaika, our DA, had the distinction of being involved in one of the first cases surrounding this ridiculous law. And so, Paul, maybe you want to just touch briefly about that situation and what you're in. Both of you actually can talk about the SAFE Act. So, Paul, you want to?
Very soon after the law was enacted, Holly, a man from Poughkeepsie was driving in New Lebanon and was pulled over for a vehicle and traffic stop. The defendant told the trooper who had pulled him over that he was carrying a loaded handgun, as was appropriate. And
he had his permit. He had a permit, correct?
He did have a permit. And we all know how difficult it is to get a pistol permit here in New York State.
Absolutely.
He told the trooper that. The trooper inspected the handgun and noticed that it had more than 7 bullets in the magazine. And because that was in violation of the SAFE Act, he arrested him. I went to New Lebanon for the first court appearance and declined to prosecute him. And as it turns out, soon thereafter, a federal judge voided that part of the law, and that part of the law continues to be unenforceable, although the balance of the SAFE Act, unfortunately, continues to be in effect.
Remains,
for the
yeah.
most part.
But that provision was struck down as being unconstitutional, is that correct?
Well, it made really no sense.
It was
not
ridiculous.
That any part of the law made sense, but that in particular made no sense.
Yeah. Well, it's important for voters to know that, you know, your Second Amendment rights are being supported. Jim, do you have anything to add about the SAFE Act in this situation?
You know, Holly, with the SAFE Act, they're going after the law-abiding citizens because criminals, they're not going to put 7 rounds in their magazine. They're not going to register their guns. They're not going to have to go through a background check to buy ammunition. Law-abiding citizens, it's just hoops that they have to jump through.
Right.
And as law enforcement, I love to see the regular citizen, the law-abiding citizen, have a handgun in their home. Because, as you know, here in Columbia County, we're rural. We don't have enough police officers. And sometimes it takes a while to get a police car there. So I have always advocated safety and training. I think as long as the people are trained, they can handle a firearm safely. They got to step up to the plate because a lot of times they're going to have to act. Home invasion, burglary in progress.
Mm-hmm.
They call 911, but it could be a while before law enforcement gets there. So to protect themselves, their families, here in a rural county is different than in New York City, where you talk about guns in New York City, you talk about gangs, drive-by shootings, talk about guns here in Columbia County.
Yeah.
It's recreational, and it's for hunting and for self-protection. And the SAFE Act doesn't do a darn thing about that.
No, it does not.
When I'm a sheriff, I had a program, Eddie Eagle, promoted by the National Rifle Association, and it was to promote safety. Stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult, for kids. And I had gotten that into every school district in the county. And it teaches safety for kids. If they see guns, bullet, they see something laying around, you know what to do. And the SAFE Act doesn't do anything in that way. The governor jumped on a thing in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
72 pages or whatever it was. The legislature was given an hour to read it. Impossible.
Right.
And there's lawyers and judges still trying to decipher it. And that's where we're at with the SAFE Act.
Yeah.
It's not really a SAFE Act. It's an unsafe
it
act.
It is unsafe. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. Just want to say on behalf of myself, you know, thank you for both of you for your positions on that. So, Justin, I believe you had a
yeah,
question.
I just wanted to talk about today on the front page of the Register Star, Paul Chaika, you are mentioned here, and I was going to give you an opportunity to respond. You are running against Ken Golden, the Democratic candidate for DA, and he speaks about a less visible role for the DA, the role of DA, where the position should be about setting standards, and I'm quoting right here in the Register Star, and allowing police agencies and municipal courts to work as independent but interconnected parts of a larger criminal justice system. And he says what he's seen is that the DA really plays only the central role and the courts have a marginal role, and that's not the way it should be. Just wanted to know your thoughts on that and if you have a response to what is in the paper today.
Well, Justin, as you may remember, as we all learned in social studies classes, in the United States of America, our founding fathers developed the system that we now refer to as a separation of powers. There are three co-equal branches of government, the judiciary, the executive branch, and the legislative branch. They are co-equal, one is no less independent or important than the other. And as the district attorney and member of the executive branch, I take particular pride in working well with the judiciary. In fact, as I say, I was a judge. And most importantly in that regard, very recently, the New York State Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York State, made issued a ruling in the matter of David Soares, the Albany County District Attorney, against Carter, who is an Albany City Court judge. And the Court of Appeals ruled and upheld a position that I have always held, and that is that a judge cannot compel a district attorney to prosecute a case based upon the separation of powers. It appears that my opponent may think otherwise. I happen to believe that the office of the district attorney is no less independent than that of judges. And, in fact, that is a central part of our system here in the United States of America in every state of the union.
Okay.
And it's up to the voters if you agree with Paul Chaika or you agree with Ken Golden. Regardless of who you agree with, make sure you get out there and vote. November 3rd.
November 3rd, Tuesday, November 3rd, and I bet you boys can't wait for...
Do you like this process? Do you like the election time, or is it stressful?
You have another question?
Yeah, you didn't answer the facial regimen one. Still waiting for an answer for that one.
I think it's a guarded secret.
I guess so. Ancient
Chinese
secret.
He's not going to tell. Let's talk about some of the differences, though, between yourself and your opponent, and one of them namely being convictions. Why don't you speak to that a little bit, Paul? What's your conviction rate in Columbia County?
In January of 1988, when I first became DA, I instituted a policy that was unheard of in New York State, and that continues through today. And in fact, every count of every indictment that is presented to the county court must be resolved either by a guilty plea or by verdict. I will not and have not plea bargained any indictments. A lot of persons involved, judges and lawyers alike, thought I was crazy and thought that was impossible because of the work involved. But it worked, and it worked then, and it continues to work now. And as a result, we have a conviction rate in county court of well over 90% in every year that I've served as DA. Certainly, we can't guarantee 100% conviction rate because we wouldn't need juries if that were in fact the case.
Sure.
But I'm very proud of that, and I credit to a very large degree former Sheriff Bertram, current Sheriff Bartlett, his predecessor, Sheriff Harrison, and teacher that we all had, Sheriff Proper, to provide training for police officers. Present cases to me of such a high quality that I'm able to, in fact, have formulated that policy and stick to it. Here in Hudson, we're very lucky to have Chief Moore, who spent 30-some years as the first sergeant of Troop K the several county region in which we live, and he has brought his experience to Hudson. And the Hudson Police Department, under his leadership, have, as I say, continued to grow and expand and serve all the people in this city, as Sheriff Bartlett does throughout the county with the New York State Police. And they present cases to me and my assistants that are capable of well and reasoned prosecution.
Yeah, that's important. As any viewer of Law and Order knows, you have to have a good case to...
We should have had that music as our...
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah. I was trying to think of how that goes, but I love that.
That is it's a great show. Well, it's very important. And Paul, if there's something that... Is there one thing that maybe you would tell listeners, you know, why should we vote for you? Why should we return you to office?
Well, as I told you earlier, I gave up a secure job on the bench to become DA again. It's a job I love. And in fact, I grew up in Columbia County. I love Columbia County. I, in fact, live in the same town, live in the same house in which I grew up, like you, Holly.
Yeah.
I grew up on a dairy farm.
That's
in
right.
fact, I recall very well buying Pioneer seed corn from a certain Walt Neifler.
My mom's listening. Hi, Mom and Dad.
And I love Columbia County, and this is my way of giving back, as Sheriff Bertram indicated earlier. And it's extremely important to provide for the people by way of being allowed to present cases, to try cases, to work with police officers based upon one's experience, my experience in having done this. It's not a job. It's too important a job to have on-the-job training. And there are so many aspects of being a district attorney that we could fill up your radio show from now until the next term for me to explain it all. But it is so involved, so complicated, and so important as to be of critical importance that a person with experience and someone who's done it successfully continue to do it successfully.
Right.
Very both in good. Terms of trying cases, working with police officers in investigations, managing an office. In fact, I've reworked the office such that we're saving $100,000 a year, less spent by taxpayers.
I was just going to mention that. And you do have a focused, concerted effort on the drug situation in Hudson.
Yes.
And you specifically are targeting
countywide
heroin. Yeah. And... Can you talk a little bit about that? Have you seen heroin on the rise in Columbia County?
Heroin is on the rise everywhere. When I started out as an assistant DA working for Charlie Inman 30-some years ago, there was heroin and there was cocaine here in Columbia County, but it was nowhere near extensive as it is now. And in fact, among the many reasons was the discovery and invention of synthetic narcotics that are prescribed for neck pain and legitimately so, but we didn't really understand that they could lead to the abuse of those synthetic narcotics to the point that persons would try to substitute their addiction that they developed for synthetic narcotics with heroin. Complicating the matter is that it's extremely cheap. Mm. Heroin today costs a fraction of what it did back when Jim and I were forming the Columbia County Drug Task Force many years ago. And the combination of all of these factors makes us all realize that it knows no boundaries in terms of geography or socioeconomic class. It's everywhere in every school district in the county. It's every town and village in the county, in addition to Hudson. And it's extremely disturbing. Fortunately, we have drug court run by Judge Nichols, who works very hard to attempt to rehabilitate those persons who are simply addicted and are not profiting from the drug. But we're also fortunate in that Judge Nichols and Judge Koch are also extremely hard on those persons that are, in fact, profiting from the drug. And those are the persons that should go to prison, and we send them there.
Yeah, that's good. Other questions, Justin? There was
what?
Something. It was on the tip of my tongue, and I lost it.
I think I covered mine.
You got all of your stuff. Jim Bertram, tell us why we should vote for you.
Favorite movie.
Favorite movie. Tell us your favorite movie.
Lone Wolf McQuaid. It should be a training film for all law enforcement. Chuck Norris.
Very good. We like that.
I love Chuck Norris. And yes. What about you, Paul Chyka?
Training films. I have an application for employees that come to the DA's office. And one of the first questions is, have you watched Godfather? Have you watched Godfather Part 2?
Oh.
If the answer to either is no, the next statement is you need proceed no further.
Wow. Is that really on there?
I guess he likes the Godfather movies.
There was a marathon just this past weekend. We were watching it.
Yeah, it took like the 3 days.
Godfather,
right?
Yeah. Although, and I'd never seen actually the scene with the horse in the bed, the horse head in the bed. Yeah, well, because I'm a horse person, but I finally watched it and I was horrified.
Just something quickly.
Go ahead, Jim Bertram.
This campaign's almost over. I'm going to miss campaigning with Paul, with PJ.
I was going to ask you about that.
And more importantly, getting out and listening to what the people have to say. And I'll be going home now. In the past, for these 5 months, my dogs didn't even remember me. So I'm sure, my wife put up with a lot of stuff. We were away. The dogs, I can get home now without getting bit. But I am going to miss the interaction with the people and with the two people I ran with.
Yeah, we are winding down. And I know you and PJ and Paul were very busy out on the campaign trail hitting so you could speak with all of the members of the community, not just specific members of the community. So that's good to hear. And Election Day again coming up. Oh, we should mention there's a debate tonight, the final mayor debate for the city of Hudson.
Yes.
Between Mayor Bill Hollenbeck and challenger Tiffany Martin Hamilton. So if you're able, where is that?
That's
one?
That's at 6:30 at the Hudson Middle School.
At the Hudson Middle
School.
Now,
I have a little pickle I'm in because I really have been looking forward to this final debate, but Gargantua has to appear
tonight. Oh, you're right. You can't do it.
So Gargantua might appear at the debate.
Oh, my.
So
hopefully she has a good question.
Somebody call News Channel 6 right
now.
Well,
we want to thank so much DA Paul Chyka and Coroner Jim Bertram for coming in today.
Thank you both very much.
Just speaking. I think it was an enlightening interview, and we learned a lot. And again, why it's important. Experience matters, folks. I think it's important when you're going to the polls on Tuesday to vote local, vote hometown, but vote experience. So thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you,
Molly.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. And so on that note, are we early? Oh, we're going to talk about this again because it's so important. The Dead Air Pledge Drive. Folks, if you liked what you heard today and you want to consider donating, please pick up the phone, 518-697-7400 or online at WGXC.org/donate.
And as of right now, WGXC has raised $7,923 of the $15,000 goal. So we're halfway there.
Please consider making a donation. Remember, your pledges will be matched up to $500. So you can also mail in a contribution to 5662 Route 23 Acre, New York, 12405. But please do donate. Yes, as Justin said, we're up to $7,923. So this helps keep creative community radio alive and well. Folks, you wouldn't get to hear this type of radio. You wouldn't have been able to hear from D.A. Chyka or Coroner Bertram if not for this radio station. And Justin and I are lovely listening voices. We wouldn't be here without you.
And we love our wonderful listeners as well.
We do. What happened to Annette?
Yeah, Annette Perry is supposed to call in.
Her part, the Halloween party in Hudson is Friday night. Is that correct? At the Hudson Boys and Girls Club,
it's
right?
Friday, and she's going to call and give us the info. But you know what we'll do is once we get that info, we can post it on our Something to Talk About Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that.
Just so everybody can go and attend.
Everyone can go. So thanks so much, everyone. We'll be back second Wednesday of November. You're listening to Something to Talk About with Holly and Justin. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again, Paul and Jim, for being here.
Happy hump day.
Happy Halloween.